This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. Your investment advisor is supposed to work for you. A new regulatory push would put investment advisors in the uncomfortable position of having to also adhere to elements of the Bank Secrecy Act. So how might that compromise that relationship between advisor and client? Cato's Jennifer Shelp explains some of the problems with the proposed regulations. Jen, do you have an investment advisor?
I do.
Okay. So I have had investment advisors in the past, and in part because I talk to you so often about topics like this, I quickly am able to exhaust some of their knowledge about certain rules and regulations. Broadly, what territory does investment advisor cover?
Well, investment advisors, per the definition, provide investment advice. They can do that in a whole lot of different ways, and there's a lot of different types of investment advisors. But what is kind of important to distinguish an investment advisor from another financial services provider is that investment advisors themselves don't hold your money. When you work with an investment advisor, your money is held by a custodian. And that custodian could be a bank, it could be a broker-dealer, but the investment advisor's stock and trade is in the advice that they provide, not in the actual moving of the money.
All right, so it's not like an accountant, it's not quite like a money manager. It's what you're paying for when you pay an investment advisor is, tell me about the pitfalls in my portfolio, tell me about the problems you might foresee down the road for me investment-wise.
Yes, although investment advisors, as I said before, can do a lot of different things. And money management is one of those things.
Okay.
Your a private investment fund or a mutual fund employs an investment advisor who does the management of the money in that fund.
Okay, so that it does include potentially touching the money.
They touch it, but they don't hold it, and they can't make the movements themselves. They might direct where those movements happen, but they are not themselves holding the money.
Okay, so the reason we're talking about this minutia or apparent minutia about investment advisors is because there are some looming regulatory rules that might impact how investment advisors do their jobs and whether or not, I suppose, as in some sense, whether or not they're really working for you.
Yes. And I'll get to the really working for you part in a second. But those rules relate to the Bank Secrecy Act. And so you and I have talked about the Bank Secrecy Act before. I'm going to say it's something that we talk a lot on this podcast with other people about. And the Bank Secrecy Act is a piece of financial surveillance that was put into place in the 1970s that requires financial institutions to engage in, say, anti-money laundering efforts. And as part of those efforts, they are supposed to keep track of their customers and report on suspicious activity that their customers engage in to the federal government. A financial institution has a pretty broad definition. It includes banks, it includes broker-dealers, it includes, say, mutual funds themselves. It also includes casinos and car dealerships, and a whole bunch of things that don't sound like financial institutions. But right now, financial institutions do not include investment advisors. Investment advisors are being proposed to be added to that definition by the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which is the division of, or the Bureau of the Treasury Department that oversees the Bank Secrecy Act. And what we just talked about is a pretty important distinction between investment advisors and the other financial institutions that are part of the Bank Secrecy Act already, is that banks, broker-dealers, even a car dealership, are the ones who are actually holding the money. Investment advisors don't do that.
You know, I think we've said it here before that in many ways, an HR department at your company is a compliance office for the government. And that is, I don't think that's a particularly controversial thing to say. But the idea that an investment advisor is supposed to be working for you, is supposed to be helping you make better decisions, I guess I feel like imposing upon them a bunch of requirements of the Bank Secrecy Act makes them a compliance department for your investments, even though you're the one who is ultimately making those decisions and then reporting on you and your decisions. How likely is that?
Well, I think you raise an interesting point in that another distinction between investment advisors and the rest of the financial institutions that we've been talking about is investment advisors have what's known as a fiduciary duty to their clients. A fiduciary duty encompasses a lot of things, including the duty for them to understand what they're recommending to you, as well as the duty to be loyal to your interests. I think that's what you mean by say when they're working for you.
Yeah, and you know, disclosures are in telling you if they're going to make a buck off of something that they recommend.
The fiduciary duty question is an interesting one because FinCEN, that's proposing this rule, really doesn't deal with that question at all. I think there's an argument to be made that the duty of loyalty does run a little bit further than just to the investment advice itself. You need to be loyal to your client and not reporting them to the government. But there are others that would argue that the fiduciary duty also requires an investment advisor to kind of go above and beyond in terms of making sure that the financial system has some integrity. I'm not sure I buy that argument either, but it's something that FinCEN doesn't tackle at all in their rule proposal, thinking about the ways in which an investment advisor has a very different relationship with their client than all of the other financial institutions that fall underneath the Bank Secrecy Act already do. And that's something that should be thought about and carefully weighed in determining whether or not something like an investment advisor would have that relationship altered by imposing Bank Secrecy Act requirements on top of them.
Yeah, and you wonder, the fiduciary duty, that is the requirement of loyalty and representing your interests as best they can, if that duty would effectively be compromised by a bunch of regulations that require them to report on your activity.
It's definitely something that needs to be considered. And I think what's important to also kind of add into that is FinCEN, in making this recommendation, kind of wrongfully assumes that the information that an investment advisor has is in no way, shape, or form already being taken into account by the broader Bank Secrecy Act and the reporting requirements of other financial institutions. I mean, that's just patently not true. Financial advisors work with other financial institutions to custody the money, a bank, a broker-dealer. And those banks and broker-dealers are already subject to the Bank Secrecy Act, including knowing things about their customers. Well, in these circumstances, the investment advisor themselves might be the bank's customer, but the bank is not going to get out of their BSA requirements by simply asking the investment advisor, hey, what's up with that money and who moved it? And the investment advisor saying, none of your business. The bank is not going to find a very happy regulator if that's the way they're conducting business. So the fact of the matter is that this information is not wholly outside of the system already. And FinCEN is talking here about imposing some pretty expensive and onerous requirements on investment advisors, many of whom are relatively small businesses, without really taking a good hard look at whether or not there's any real benefit to come out of imposing such requirements.
I was about to ask, related to that, of the cost of complying with these regulations, whether or not that, as a practical matter, is just big banks saying, well, yeah, we can afford to comply with this, but you small guys can't, and therefore you're going to be working for us soon enough.
If you take a look through the comment letters that have gone in on this rule proposal, you see some from representatives of big banks that are very enthusiastic about requiring investment advisors to also be subject to the same rules. You can certainly see that cynically. I don't think it's hard to take a look at that cynically and see that it's a competition issue. Big banks spend a lot of money on Bank Secrecy Act compliance. And big banks also offer services that look a lot like investment advisory services at times. So it's pretty easy to see a big bank thinking, well, if these independents also have to have this higher level of compliance costs, it's not bad for us.
And I can imagine that banks spend a lot of money advertising products that a reasonable investment advisor might tell a client, this is a bad product, you shouldn't buy it.
I think that probably goes both ways.
For the average investor, somebody who has a small portfolio, somebody who's, you know, maybe getting close to retirement, who wants to make sure that their investment advisors for now and in the future will be representing their interests wholesale, what do you have to tell them about these regulations that are looming?
Well, the FinCEN's requirements here would fall onto what are known as registered investment advisors, which tend to be bigger investment advisors. So I'd say first, make sure that you understand whether or not your local advisor would fall under these rules. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But what I think is important for the average person to really understand is that kind of knee-jerk reactions to hearing that Bank Secrecy Act expansion is going to ensure that we have less terrorist financing, and automatically saying, yes, less terrorist financing is good, so we must support these rules, is the wrong way to think about it. We've talked a lot about how the Bank Secrecy Act, I would say, violates everyone's Fourth Amendment rights by co-opting your financial institutions to serve as an arm of the government to search and seize your records. Well, that continues to apply, and it's a bigger problem when we just think about a knee-jerk expansion of this because someone says the word national security.
Jennifer Shulp directs financial regulation studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you like. And thank you for listening.